Welcome to PharmaTalk Radio. I'm Annalee Smith, Marketing Manager of the Partnership Opportunities in Drug Delivery, or POD, program. PharmaTalk Radio is a nonprofit program to disseminate helpful information to the life science and patient advocacy communities. Today's program features the chair of the POD event, Dr. Barbara Lugel, Head of Research and Technologies Partnering at Roche, where she presents the annual year-in-review of the drug delivery landscape. Dr. Lugel's remarks are a highlight of POD every year, and we're excited to have her returning as program chair for 2017's event, which is coming up October 19th and 20th in Boston. Now let's hear from Dr. Lugel.
So good morning, everybody, and it's a great honor actually to be there for the sixth time for the sixth conference in a row. And those who were there over the years will recognize something changed on me. Not going to ask, but I'm wearing glasses. I'm getting older through the pod years. But very glad again also that we are back in this wonderful location for this conference. And for everyone on stage, the task will be that you focus on these projectors, on the slides, and not on these beautiful surroundings. And I'm sure we'll do a good job with that. So, okay. As you know, I'm analyzing the drug delivery world from pod event to pod event, so that's how I count the delivery years. And for this morning, I'm going to talk about a few innovation themes. And I want to emphasize that these are my personal impressions, and they are certainly not complete. And I want to apologize in advance for any deals or companies, things that happen that really impact patients that I did not pick up. So these are going to be the five topics that I'm going to talk about. And the first one is actually really exciting because it goes beyond the classical small molecule or biologics. It's about a new classes of medicines that actually GSK is getting really into, which is about miniaturized implantable devices, electrical or electromagnetical or ultrasonic. And the idea is that they are placed around the vesicles and that they can change the firing pattern of the peripheral nerves that go to muscles or organs. And as far as I can read from what's published, the idea is to think very differently about how to treat diseases like diabetes or IBD or asthma. The hope is that these bioelectronics medicines have fewer side effects than drugs. And so the big splash this year was actually a joint venture announced between GSK and Verily, which is one of the companies of the Alphabet universe, to establish a joint venture called Galvani. And this joint venture will have the luxury of $450 million over 7 years, and about 30 scientists are getting started from discovery to clinical to identify such novel bioelectronic medicines. This obviously started a few years back, and GSK was very prominent in starting a big number of research collaborations to get to a proof of principle stage in animals that apparently now made them confident to really jump that far ahead with this investment. There was another joint venture actually made between Verily and another big pharma company, namely Sanofi, in the area of diabetes. Again, big investment, $500 million, built on a past partnership that the two companies had. And obviously, this time around, it would be all about diabetes monitoring and treatment. Quick comment, being a partnering person, what I really found interesting in the last year was that joint ventures became rather prominent. It's normally a business construct that we don't see all that often, but here we go with two with Verily, and actually there was another one by Bayer with CRISPR Therapeutics to form a gene editing joint venture named Casabia. So real interesting that this business construct takes up every once in a while. So having mentioned diabetes, that's an area where a lot of innovation happened over the last year. J&J's one-touch insulin patch is actually finally now getting ready to launch. It's very discreetly, as you can see on the picture, worn under your clothes. You can click on it. It will deliver a certain amount of insulin and is purely mechanical and can be even worn when bathing. In that very same space of insulin pumps, Medtronic gained, I think earlier than anticipated, FDA approval for the very first hybrid closed-loop system for type 1 diabetes for patients older than 14 years. It's again a waterproof system. You can wear it apparently for 7 days. And it has the only approved sensor to really drive the amount of basal insulin and automatically adjust. It's still a hybrid model because the patient needs to calibrate the sensor with glucose measurement from the blood and also enter the carbs they are eating. But obviously a big step forward for very convenient use of pumps for diabetes patients. On the right-hand side, you see another very interesting drug delivery-related innovation, this time round for insulin that should help with the time right after a meal. It's based on a technology developed by a French company named Adosia. And Lilly and Adosia entered into a deal end of 2014 and by now have performed 4 phase 1 or phase 2 studies. And the idea here is that this heparin-inspired biochaperone molecule that comes in various polymer lengths and charges and hydrophobic elements is keeping the insulin, I think, in a monomeric form, which then helps the very rapid absorption when you inject it right before your meal. Apparently, it also helps to combine insulin and GLP-1 peptides, which are both very important diabetes disease-modifying drugs, of course, to be combined in the same formulation at the same pH. And this is what the company is also going after. So again, very relevant drug delivery innovation for diabetes. Last time when I was here, we talked quite excitedly about the MannKind Sanofi deal after the FDA approval end of 2014 and the commercialization agreement reached with Sanofi. But apparently, it didn't really quite work out. The sales didn't pick up, and Sanofi took the option to pull out of this deal. I've read that MannKind is eager to, maybe through a different marketing campaign, make this medicine available to patients. And also, in a way, interesting to see that this pulmonary, highly innovative pulmonary technology is also applied to other drugs. And I read that MannKind did a deal with Receptor Life Sciences for drugs in very different areas than diabetes. So the one insulin pulmonary product in development left, I think, is DANCE 501, which is a mist and has completed phase 2. So let's see where that one is going. On the oral side, there are continuous publications about Novo trying to get to an oral pill. And then last but not least, obviously, diabetes also comes with rescue situations, hypoglycemic rescue situations. And in this context, Lilly actually did a deal in October last year, right after POT, with a company named Leucemia on a nasal powder product for glucagon. And the idea here is obviously that in this very stressful rescue situation, a nasal puff is easier to give than the injectable rescue kit. I think there are a number of studies ongoing to finally get this product to approval. So the previous slide already mentioned quite a few device opportunities. And that's in general an area, again, where a lot of innovation is happening. On the upper left-hand side, there is a newly approved auto-injector for an RA drug named Orenzia. It was previously available for IV and as a prefilled syringe. the company has invested in this auto injector to really help the dexterity disabled patients with this disease to have an auto injector that they can really easily grip on, they can easily push on, and according to a usability study, really feel very good and confident about holding this auto injector, delivering the right amount of dose. Another very exciting device innovation is for the PCSK9 product from Amgen, which was available as an auto-injector every 2 weeks, again, which you needed to hold for 15 seconds. And this is now the very first patch pump approved based on Vest's smart dose self-injection patch pump system together with the Crystal Zenit cartridge technology, and it's the Repatha Pushtronics product. This means that this is now the first PCSK9 product that you can administer only every month, no longer every 2 weeks. Always interesting to see, though, from a perspective of partnering and advancements in the field, that we can do a lot with delivery. But obviously, sometimes also new drugs and new modalities may take over. So just want to mention, obviously, there is a big effort happening with PCSK9 antibodies, but there's also quite nice progress, actually, on anti-PCSK9 saRNA with the promise that you then inject only twice a year. So it will all be interesting to see how that plays out. The FDA this August also approved the very first Bluetooth-enabled insulin pen. It can work with both Humalog and Novalog, and it can calculate the dosing, track the history of dosing and the amounts, monitor things like the temperature of insulin, and most importantly, report the injection information to the healthcare professional. Another digital health company, Quio, was also reported this year to have raised $1 million to enable real-time wireless data transmission from any kind of injection device. Shouldn't require smartphones or syncing with any other device. And there are two versions of this plan, one with a pen and one with another type of cartridge. And the idea is to either use it in clinical trials, to not to have site focused administration, but allow the patients to participate in the trial at home, or certainly for chronic use at home. So in this context of digital health, this has been clearly a topic that has progressed immensely ever since the POD community met last. And it's about the whole field of MDIs and dry powder inhalers, especially in the chronic respiratory diseases, moving to the field of connected devices. It's actually striking to know that 500 million patients suffer from such chronic respiratory diseases, and I read that 6% of the global deaths are actually due to COPD. The digital dose inhaler market is believed to increase within the next 8 years to 4 billion from a little under 1 billion this year. So huge growth opportunity for the companies that are active in this field. But first and foremost, obviously great progress for the patients. Because what these Digitech-enabled inhalation devices would provide is significantly enhanced compliance, dose tracking, and certainly a really good connectivity between the patient and the healthcare practitioner. And this should basically enable very individualized patient treatment. The doctor would know when the patient doesn't really take the drugs regularly or goes to the rescue dose and can really work out the treatment regime much better. In this Internet of Medical Things, as some companies call it, there were already acquisitions back in 2014. OPKO, a very early adopter of this, acquiring Inspiro Medical. Before last year's report, actually Teva acquiring Gecko Health, which was an MIT spin-out company. But then on the left-hand side, really over the last 12 months, it was really amazing to see how the major inhalation pharma players and also device players take on partnerships with companies such as Adherium, and this is right now solely with Astra, or Propeller Health, with a lot of companies mentioned here, and also Qualcomm with Boehringer and Novartis, to really make a strike in this field. Lots of partnering happening there. I want to make a quick detour on maybe quite exotic formulations, and they are certainly very either very early in development or at the stage of clinical testing, but they are an effort to treat, as you know, a deadly cancer, which is pancreatic cancer. As a spin-out here out of Cambridge, there is a new company called Panther Therapeutics, and they use, again, the well-known PLGA polymer, but in a sophisticated way, and providing basically a film. The idea is to have a film that linearly releases the drug over, let's say, 2 months, but only from the side that really faces the pancreatic tumor and not the outside, and hence sparing the body from the chemotherapeutic drug. Another company, it was used to be called Neurelax, now it's called Pharmacide Biotech, is advancing with a quite sophisticated cell-in-a-box technology. It's about cellulose-encapsulated gene-engineered cells. And these cells are basically administered through a catheter very close to the pancreatic tumor. The idea then is that if you then IV-wise deliver ifosfamide, that these cells, through the enzyme that they produce, convert the inactive prodrug into the active chemotherapeutic agent, but really close to the tumor. Obviously, the concept is that you have really high drug concentrations right next to the tumor, also because this drug has a very short half-life. So if you do this regularly and the liver does this, you lose a lot of drug and it's not amenable to the cancer. The company is planning a phase 2B trial, and let's see, maybe at some other upcoming pod we can hopefully talk about some progress here. So finally, a few drug delivery news, largely based on partnerships ever since last pod in very important areas of drug delivery. Very interesting to see that J&J is actually taking a different approach to oral protein delivery. They struck a deal after the last pod with a company called enGene. And the idea is to have a non-viral vector platform such that, in this case, for the first product, the anti-inflammatory IL-10 cytokine is only produced from the gene in the gut for diseases such as IBD. Novo announced that they extended their deal with Emisphere for oral delivery, of their diabetic peptides. And MedImmune, as a second company after Novartis, entered into a deal with Rani, of which we'll hear more about during this pod, again for oral delivery of biologics, with Rani's very sophisticated oral delivery capsule. MIT is continuing to be very active in this field as well, looking into ultrasound-based delivery, but most recently also into a pill that they called Janus pill, meaning it has two sides. One, obviously, that should be very much adhered to the mucus, and the other one be really ultra-repellent, so there is no disturbance from whatever flows through the gut on this patch, sticking to the mucus and delivering the drug. On the oral side, again, in the remit of improving adherence, there is a new company called Exhale. Interesting to note that the Proteus Abilify application to the FDA for their oral pill to demonstrate adherence was actually rejected earlier this year. And this company will want to do something very interesting, which is to add something to your pill that gets metabolized and actually exhaled through your lung. And so the patient would then take a device. The device would measure whether this substance really got produced. The device would also take a picture of the patient, so you can't really fool around whether it's you or someone else who really took this medication. So really interesting innovation to improve adherence for oral drugs as well. On the subcutaneous side, two important deals to report. Again, Cambridge-based Arcea did a deal with Biogen to convert hemophilia drugs from IV to sub-Q. And Halozyme struck their fifth deal after the first one with Roche and is by now, through its partnership, having, I think, at least four molecules, again, in phase one testing to deliver large volumes subcutaneously rather than IV. Interesting note on the transdermal side. I don't know whether someone from Corium is there, but I read that the FDA okayed the path for their corplex-based patch for an Alzheimer drug to go via bioequivalence and not via efficacy, which obviously means a shorter path to approval and also a less costly path. And finally, on the ocular side, as we all know, there are lots of diseases that will make people blind. So an urge to find novel drugs, but also to keep them in the eye for longer or on the eye for longer. And so just in the last 3 months, Allergan acquired Foresight Vision 5, which is a ring that was placed on the cornea and would deliver a glaucoma drug over time. And Bayer partnered with DelsiTech on their silica-based sustained release, and Regeneron with Ocular Therapeutics on their hydrogel system for aflibercept. So with that, I'm at the end of my overview of what happened in drug delivery, my personal impression on the innovation. And it's now a great pleasure, again for the sixth time, to announce the first keynote lecture by Bob Langer. This picture got modified a little bit from last time round because Bob continues to collect, rightly so, awards. So this year it was the European Inventor Award for the category of non-Europe, and he also received the Benjamin Franklin Medal, which is really an honor of everything that he has brought in excellence in science and technology to the community. Bob is by now the most cited engineer in the world, and while being an engineer, actually one of the, if not the most creative medical pioneer and inventor. And he has the largest biomedical engineering lab here in Cambridge at MIT. Obviously, this is not just impacting the patients themselves. He continues to influence his students and postdocs to found new companies, some of which are here, and bring their ideas to the market and, again, impact patients. And more than 30 companies by now are co-founded by Bob, and more than 100 license his patents. Just last night, he got the CRS Foundation Award, and I saw on this picture here, there's still space on your wall in the office, Bob. So, is that on? Yeah, Can I please ask you to come on stage for yet another award on behalf of the POD community for all the inspiring lectures you gave to us and the inspiration to the community and the impact you give to patients.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You can learn more about the next Partnership Opportunities in Drug Delivery meeting online at theconferenceforum.org. Again, that's theconferenceforum.org. We hope to see you in Boston on October 19th and 20th, 2017, for the 7th annual meeting and Dr. Lukel's next review of the drug delivery landscape. Thanks for listening, everyone.